Today is Father's Day. It brings up a kind of teaching that comes out of Jewish tradition, about which I don't know very much. But one of the statements I've learned is that the obligation of a parent, and I would in some ways assume a father, and perhaps the only obligation of a father, is to teach his child to swim. Period. It's not to take the kid and row him across the water. It's not to swim for your child. It's not to give her all of your knowledge and all of your wisdom and all of your strength. It's simply teach them to swim. And my dad never taught me to swim. I was terrified of the water. I don't think he was a lot more comfortable in it than I was. And I was almost in high school before I really figured out that nobody's going to teach me. And I not only taught myself to swim, but I really swam for 25 years. I would go to the pool regularly, and loved it. I really love swimming. I don't remember what the voice was inside me that said, you got to do this now. I knew there was a lot of shame in going to the beach as a kid and not being able to swim. I would play in the water, but I couldn't really stay afloat. I had a swimming teacher in high school named Mr. Mullins, who I think had something to do with it. But in the end, it was like me saying to myself, finally, get over it. Nobody else is going to do it. You do it. And I did. I powered through. I think I may have taken some credit for it at the time. But the great lesson about fatherhood is a little bit the Christian concept of my Father who art in heaven. The idea of your Father in heaven releases your biological parent from a lot of obligation on some level. Yes, they have a job to try to keep you going and teach you to swim, but the Father who art in heaven really is the teacher of how to swim. Your biological father may also have had a parent who didn't do a good job of it, who didn't know how to present what was needed. And I can only tell you, being a father myself and now a grandfather, that I know there was so much I could not communicate to my children. I really, really tried to be a good father. And I would, you know, if I was going to grade myself, it's a B, kind of, you know. I could not teach them how to play baseball for the life of me, even how to catch a ball. And to this day, we're all total failures in the arena of throwing and catching. We once played frisbee together, and nobody ever caught the frisbee. It would just keep sailing past every one of us, and we were in hysterics laughing, and it was one of the great joys of our growing up together that we were failures, and we were a collection of failures, you know, in that arena. And in a way, I taught us how to laugh at our failures, and so in some ways that was a good thing. You know, even though I couldn't really communicate the fatherly thing that so many people want to learn from their parents. And I'm not sure I was great at teaching them to swim. I was mediocre in teaching them how to ride a bicycle. I'm trying to remember, I think one or both of them claimed that I didn't help them teach them how to ride a bicycle. I thought I had. But, you know, we have these illusions in our own lives about what our role is, who we are, how we how effective we are as people. But the truth is, we're all wildly incomplete. We don't have the whole picture. We may have enormous well-read brains that can talk about the philosophers of history and times in the past. We may be able to have a great deal of understanding of life and communicate our wisdom to people. We may have the ability to communicate skills and discipline. You know, a lot of parents think their job is just to discipline. Don't do this, don't step over that line. You know, fathers were often in many cultures the arbiter of discipline. This is what you can do and what you can't do. Fathers often felt that their job was not to love. The mother had to love, if anybody. The father just had to show up and provide and discipline. Lots of limitations on the idea of parenting in life. And so we are all, in a way, left as very incomplete on some level because none of us were completely well-parented. Some of you may get squeaked through there and say, well, I was. You know, I was well-parented. And you will, you know, argue with me, which is fine. I would love that to be the case. But in most cases, something was wanting. And no one knew where to go to get that. And often we would try to find it in friends who could offer us something that parents weren't, like the truth, what's really going on, the insights that our parents were giving us, stories about life, and the friends were telling us what's really happening. And then we realized they were full of shit too, that they didn't really know. And then we fall in love with someone who we think will give us the completion of our lives that we didn't get growing up. And then we discover even that doesn't really work. I mean, again, there are exceptions, and to all exceptions, I bow my head down and say congratulations. But most of us cannot find completion or instruction or the manual of life from others. We cannot find it out there. It just does not seem to exist. I mean, there will be people who will present it to you. There are holy teachings, the Bhagavad Gita, the Bible, you know, there's great Tibetan writings, there's the Quran. Guideposts, how to get through, how to live this life. And we process it usually with our brain on some level. We read it and go, yeah, I understand, yeah, that makes sense, yes, yes, yes. And it goes from here to here. But we have all of the rest of this to somehow figure out, how do I embody this in my life? Some of these teachings actually make it into the heart. And you take it to heart, and you believe. You believe and trust the teaching. But it's a belief in an outer teaching, and it has to become profoundly real and established inside you for it to really root properly. And even then, it was given to you by an outer force that in the end had to be accepted or rejected or modified in some way so you could live your life. The real learning to swim instruction comes from thy Father who art in heaven. That space inside us that instructs us without really speaking very much. It nudges you off the diving board. It pushes you into the job interview. It tells you to go to this college and not that one. It tells you, marry that girl, marry that guy. It has this nudging quality that also pushes you into the water and says, relax. Don't fight this. Float. Be easy with it. There is this guiding factor. I talked about it yesterday as the navigational system that's in every one of us. This fatherly being that truly teaches us how to swim. You're not going to get the teaching from outside. You're going to get pointers, arrows, suggestions, even directives that you may find to be helpful and meaningful. You may find some to be disturbing. You know, you kind of don't want your father to throw you off the diving board. And some fathers do that. That's how I'll teach you to swim. Go for it. It's a way. It works. Kind of, unless you drown. But you may not forgive him for using that technique. You may just not be peaceful with that. The Father in heaven is gentler, can be gentler. Not necessarily. Sometimes the Father who art in heaven will throw you off the diving board. And you may be angry until the day you realize that had you not been thrown off the diving board, you would have drowned in life. Sometimes we need that kind of push, whatever it is. But the inner voice that I have discovered as the Father within is actually very gentle and remains very gentle until you show up as being totally resistant, until you go, no way, or I'm going to do it my way, or whatever it is, until you start to really get yourself in trouble. When you get really in trouble, the gentility of the Father doesn't work. It has to be a powerful force. It has to come at you, and it has to do whatever it has to do to wake you up. And it will do it. It will cause car crashes, near misses in all sorts of ways, bring you into hostile environments, send you to war. It will do all sorts of things because it needs to find a way to get you to pay attention to the simple directives that are trying to get you not only through life, but also to get what life is trying to give you so you can go, I will say beyond life, to transcend life, but really what I'm trying to say is to embrace the totality of life, to get it, to find your way through this extraordinarily bizarre, scary, difficult place that presents us with endless obstacles, difficulties, and struggles. But they are struggles if your mind is trying to make sense of them. They are struggles if the heart can't figure out which direction to go. They are not struggles if you get really quiet inside and listen to the voice that I talked about yesterday that says, this way. Do it now. Do it now. If you listen to that voice inside, to your father's mother's parental voice, you will be guided through the insanity, the instruction, the darkness, the fearfulness, the unknowing of life. It's the only way. There is no way. You cannot read a book that will do it for you. You cannot come to a teacher and listen to their words and think it's going to get you through the night. It will help you. It will push you in a direction that will bring you into yourself, but in the end, the self is what does it. Nothing else does it. And it can't be someone else's self, it's yourself. Of course, the incredible revelation as you go deep into yourself is that it's a shared experience, that it's one self. That when I go deeply into myself and you go deeply into yourself, we end up in the same self, the same place. There's only one self. And it's always there, always guiding and protecting and helping us through this extraordinary unknowable space called life. There are perhaps people who will ask, why at all? Why do we have to go through this journey? But I don't know many people who would trade it for anything. I don't care how difficult your life is, unless you're suicidal and ready to get out of it, mostly you're willing to find your way through it, any way you can. And there are enough pleasures, you know, the ice cream cones, the, you know, Housewives of Atlanta, you know, whatever it is, your thing that keeps you rooted into this world. You've enough to keep you thinking, I can get through another day and another day. But there's more to it than that. There's more to it. There is an adventure here into a kind of heart of darkness, into the center of being, into the core of knowing, that is a journey that is what you're here for. And either you choose the mission or you don't choose it. If you don't choose it, you sit back and you just, you know, relax and deal with day-to-day life and the obstacles of it, with the turmoil and the stress and the discomfort and the Tylenol and the Motrin and the whatever else you give yourself to make it through the day. Or you take on this incredible journey with your father's voice, your parents' voice, guiding you through all of this, because there is something incredible that's coming at you every second, and knowing how to move through it makes you feel wonderful, like wonderful, full of wonder. There is in everyday life something that is, I would only describe as discovery. What happens is that many people begin to become seekers. But the reality of an awakened being is not seeking, because seeking is absurd in the end. It's finding. It's discovering. Minute by minute, hour by hour, it's like, wow. George's granddaughter's first word recently was, wow. And then, ooh. You don't need to know more than that. Done. Figured it out. Wow and ooh is at the source of all of this. And as scary as it may seem, it's only scary because we haven't learned to swim. We haven't heard the Father's instruction. We haven't paid attention. We have given the power of instruction to the outer world, where the real instruction is from inside. And if you haven't found a map to your own inner being, and it's not a difficult map, you know, the only map is sit here. You are there. That's the map. You are there. And you're going, whoa, you are there. This is where you are. Once you discover the map to this, this thing starts to unfold and dialogue with you. Maybe just not dialogue, it was just monologue. It just instructs you. But again, as I said yesterday and as I said today, it's not verbose. You know, I'm verbose. This thing is like this way. Now, do it. That's all it is. That's all it is. But it's so brilliant. You know, and then this thing happens for those of us who are getting to the end of this journey. You begin to discover, as all of us suspect when we're younger, that everything you've learned, everything you know, everything you bought, everything you strive for, everything you think you earned is taken away. Bit by bit by bit, your mind. You should watch Blanche and I looking for our phones. You know, the keys, whatever it is, this loss of things, constant loss. Then there's the loss of stature, loss of position, loss of your importance in the world. All goes away. For many people, loss of the home they lived in for all these years, loss of identity on some fundamental level. I mean, it goes on and on. More and more and more gets taken away. And you really find yourself adrift in a world in which everything you worked for is no longer yours, no longer available. Meaning, what was it for? Why was I here? What was this about? All goes away. And you're left adrift, except what is still there in all of that? Your father's voice. There's still this unbelievable guiding principle at work in the midst of the loss of everything. That's an amazing thing. I second that. It's an amazing thing that what happens in life, that what happens to all of us, is that as everything disappears, more is there. When you fall away, what remains is everything. When you lose your mind, lose your ambition, lose the place you lived, when you lose all the stuff that you had, when you realize that you're at the end of the swim and you have barely swam, that you barely knew what you were doing, you somehow made it through to the other side maybe, but you were not the best swimmer, you still have this coach inside. The coach was just saying, there's more yet to come. And there's this really powerful thing that as you approach the end of the journey, you realize that ending is like, it's just a concept. End is a word. The whole idea of word, of the word end, starts to break apart, it fragments away. And you don't see anything because you find yourself in a kind of timeless reality. So the story that you think finally comes to a conclusion really doesn't conclude. It just is. And the isness is centered around this extraordinarily simple, internal, present tense, always present tense, Father's voice of now. This way. This way. And I haven't gone into the death realm exactly, although I think I did on LSD. But I will tell you, my suspicion is that that voice operates in one realm after another realm after another realm. It has been there in my entire life, and I think it is there beyond what we think of as life. That there is a guiding truth, a parental truth, a heavenly, fatherly, motherly voice that embraces us, that connects us to something fundamental, and that in some indescribable way is us. And that we have been there for ourselves from time immemorial, from beginningless, endless existence. We have had this extraordinary directive, loving, affectionate, disciplining, knowing reality providing us with a path forward. And the path forward is not so much to get to the next thing as it is to find your way to be present in this. How not to try to escape or back away from or avoid, but how to be present with the absolute nature of what is. Scary, beautiful, wow, terrifying, whatever, it allows you to go, thy will be done. It gives you a yes to existence. And that's the gift of the Father that art in heaven. We who suffer the failure of our worldly fathers and mothers and friends and partners, who wish they could have given us everything, who feel betrayed by a world that was not offering all it had promised, simply missed what was happening. There is no blame around. You cannot blame anyone. Because the only blame, if there is one, is that you didn't pay attention to what was, or more importantly, what is. And the minute you pay attention, actually the blame goes away. Because the journey in life is really to find that voice. The journey of life is to uncover this constancy in the middle of change. The one thing that is when everything is transforming. The one thing that keeps solid while things are fragmenting. The journey is that alone. It's to find you and who you are in the midst of what isn't. And every second is an opportunity to see that in a way you never imagined before and to go, ooh. That's really what it is. And I can only tell you from my own experience that every day I wake up and I'm sitting there and then I see something that I would never have seen before and I go, every day, every day, often throughout the whole day. You know, those of you who know that I'm starting to take a lot of pictures, I'm starting to see beauty in frames, things that frame something you would never have looked at as being in a frame. You know, pieces of pottery, shards of stuff, rust, things, rusting things. I go, oh my God, that's beautiful. Take a picture, I blow it up, and it's beyond beautiful. It's like, what's that? You know, it goes on and on in delivering pleasure. It's beginning to see what is all the time in front of you. And what this great inner voice gives you is a indication of, look there. Look at that. Watch that. And it is so incredible to have life deliver on that level. It has taught you to see. It has taught you to move. It has taught you to walk. It has taught you to swim. It has taught you how to be a being in a world of illusion and delusion on some level, and an expression of ultimate reality on another. It teaches us how to know, how to function, how to appreciate, how to love, how to be present for others. It teaches us everything, and that teacher is right here now. So, happy Father's Day. Go in there, find this father you've been missing, say thank you, give him a big hug, and express all the gratitude you can, because he has never been absent, she has never been absent, it has never been absent from your life. Any questions?
I think it's beautiful. You know, it's so comforting, the things that you say, because it can be so lonely, right, the journey. And so to, like, feel like, you know, the universe is always supporting you, it's such a comforting...
I think it's meant to be comforting. It's also meant to be real.
Yeah.
So it's not an illusionary thing. And the only way I can kind of express that it's not illusionary is that I feel it. It's not, you know, it's like, I don't know what is more real than this feeling of there's something guiding me into this moment. There's something holding my hand in this moment. And it's not a fantasy illusion for me. It is an actual, I can almost feel the grip. You know, it's right here. And it sits with me. And when I teach, and I look at each one of you, and I feel connected to you, this thing is speaking. I feel it assuring. I feel it giving itself. I feel it helping. It's there. It's not a fantasy. It is a promise. And it won't be meaningful to you unless you go find it. But if you find it, you'll say thank you. Which is, I don't even care if you say thank you, but I know you'll feel it. You know, I mean, like I said, when I was in India, my gratitude was like, I'm off the charts. I was just laid flat on the floor, on the grounds in front of these temples, and I just said thank you, over and over. I just feel like I kept going thank you, and I kept thanking the universe, this voice, this guidepost, this thing that gave me a very rich life. I just thanked it for everything. And I couldn't stop. And I named names. I named everybody I knew. I just said, thank you. Because everybody who was in the fabric was like, wow, wow. You know, I mean, all of you. You know, this incredible fabric of being. If you love your life, you're going to love every particle of it. Even if you've had a hard time. Even the people who've been miserable to you. You know, I've got people in my life who've done horrible things to me. I love them. I don't have any, there's nothing in me that's hating anybody. You know, because I get that they are part of this unknowable configuration that is what I am. So I just say thank you. And all I'm trying to do is communicate that possibility to you. I don't want you to say, oh, it's great Bruce does that. I want you to do it, or be it, or want to do it on your own. I want to teach you to swim, but I can't really teach you to swim. I can only tell you swimming feels great. It feels great.
And do you feel like there are, like, no accidents? Like, everything sort of unfolds the way it's supposed to?
Well, in a way, you have to think that. You know, I mean, I'm sure one can imagine that it's not that way, because you go, why this? This, why these horrible things happen in life? You know, my answer, in a funny way, would be, in some random sense, there's a brilliance behind it all. There's something behind it all. I don't know that it's purposeful. I don't know that this is the way it's supposed to be or should be. It's what is. The what is everything. The what is explains it. I know how hard life can be, and I know your particular journey, and I know things have happened that some people would be stopped in their tracks and never recover from. That to me is a loss of the voice inside. It's a saying, I don't trust you, I don't believe you, you've taken away everything I love, you've taken away something that's essential, how can I ever trust you again? And that happens in many, many lives, but it can't be forever, because at some point, when everything else is gone, that thing is still there, when everything is gone, and you'll realize at that moment, somewhere way down the track, that it loved you in spite of everything. And then you will, maybe at the gates of heaven, suddenly say thank you. But what I'm trying to encourage is, and you seem to have already figured this out, to be honest, but I'm trying to encourage, you have a whole life in front of you, all of us do. Get to those pearly gates now. Get to that space now. Listen to the voice of the Father in heaven now, and let it direct your life so that you don't have to walk around in pain, in anger, in hatred, or whatever the things are for the what-isness of life. You finally just go, it's incomprehensible, I cannot understand it, but even though in many ways you are left alone on some nature, in some way, there is a fundamental underlying presence that will not leave, that cannot leave you. And that has a dimensionality of truth that nothing else had. And the great teachings of people like Buddha is that everything is impermanent. Everything will be taken. Some things will be taken in a natural course of life, some in the unnatural course. Whatever it is, it is. And we are not here. I don't care how blessed you are, or how good you are, or how kind you are, nobody's free of the randomness of existence. Nobody. You cannot be free of it. So it's how do you manage to keep swimming when everything else is kind of falling apart. And I've watched people who have managed brilliantly, and I barely know you, but I'm putting you in that category. And I know people, you know, who have awakened almost from tragedy, through tragedy. And I know people who have made it their journey to suffer the rest of their life. Is it wrong? It may be the very thing they need to do. So I'm not going to be judgmental or critical, but I would tell you, based on my knowing you and having witnessed people who've chosen the other path, that witnessing your strength, your capacity, inspires me in a way that I'm not inspired by someone who's closed off and become angry and hostile to life. So, you know, I really bow down to your ability to ride above with, in consort with, the struggle. It's really, really important. Anyone else?
Thank you for, at some point in your talk, I saw a vivid picture in color of my father young and smiling, and what my father gave me was how not to live. Growing up. And
that's a gift.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't love my father for many, many years. And I was somewhere along the way, maybe 15 or so years ago, I said, I can't do this. I cannot go through life not loving my father. You know? And I said, What how can I remedy this? And then I started thinking, well, I know I loved him somewhere along the line. And I kept digging back, really digging through memory, and I found a moment where he and I were on a train to Cleveland to visit his brother. And we were passing through Toledo. And there were all of these, I don't know what they were outside, like processing plants, like oil processing or something. And I was looking at it, and he said, it is so beautiful. He looked out the window with me, looking at this, how beautiful it was. And I felt his amazement at it. And I looked at him like, who is this man? He sees beauty. He's with me. We're together in a little compartment on a train. I loved him so much. I looked up to him. He was wisdom incarnate. And I just said, that's the moment I have to use. And I worked that moment into my system, and I've used it ever since. Because I needed to find a way to get there. Some people, my mother gave me every day a reason to get there. You know, my dad didn't provide that. But I can always go back to that space. I took the responsibility of going back because I had to love him through. Blanche and I had to caretake for him in the last years of his life. And he was not easy. Not easy. But this love thing kept happening, and it made it possible to do the right thing. So there's ways to do it. George?
I was just reminiscing about Buddhist teachings and your teachings and realizing that become self-realized or aware. You don't have to really do it on your own. The teaching or just the guide to say, go out in that way.
Yes.
Own path that we have to just let go of.
Yes.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And I think the word you use, which is in the many teachings, it's really important, is self-realized. Self-realized isn't somebody else gave it to you. Somebody else didn't do it for you. You did it.
But we all want somebody to do it for us.
Yes, of course. Of course. And we become devotees of people we think will do it for us. They'll inspire us into getting there. But then by serving them, we think that will do the work. No, serving someone doesn't do the work. Doing the work does the work. And if you don't do it, I mean, look, at some point you have to do it. And I don't know if you have to do it in this lifetime, because I don't really know about additional lifetimes exactly. It makes sense to me that there aren't many lifetimes. It makes sense because so few people grow even a millimeter in a lifetime. I look at people going, they're going backwards. They're not even moving. There's no movement happening.
It's easy to go backwards.
Yeah, or stay locked in a place. But the movement forward, working toward awakening, is actually hardly, it's not moving forward, it's moving into this. But there are so few people that I meet who've done it, or who do it, although I'm meeting more and more people. But I realize that we need to self-actualize. We need to realize, self-realize who we are. And it might be on the deathbed. I think for many people that's what it is. It's late in the game, but it's better then than not. It may happen right after death, you know, assuming a certain kind of cosmology, that you'll sit there and go,
Ram Dass used to say he loved to be with people who were just about to die, because a lot of them do get their realization.
Oh, absolutely, because there's nothing left. There's no future. You're not investing in future. Past is now either forgotten or it's too much of a construct that it holds you, and you can't go into the next life holding on to this one. So there's a moment of having to let go, and when you finally let go, you realize, oh.
Like Barbara Bostas in his
words. Yeah. No, it's like toodaloo. That's what it is.
Well, when you're coming in, ooh, wow.
Ooh, wow, yeah. Ooh, wow, and toodaloo. That's the journey. And getting to this.
Great mantra.
Yeah. Getting to the end of it all, getting to the end, which we all will do, you either get there, eyes wide open, or, don't take me. Or why me, God? you end up with these kinds of struggles, and the possibility of getting past all that while you're still in your body, while you still can be a 74-year-old guy who can go, wow, and ooh, it's just better. It's not spiritually advanced. It's just a better choice. So, I guess one thing I keep coming at is this idea, and it's very funny, about the struggle we all have is that we're so central to ourselves, that we're so central in our own lives. All we think about is us, day in, day out, us. And all I'm trying to do, and one of the things that I think happened in my life without my understanding how, is that the self, it got pushed away, and then everything else appeared. The minute you let go of you, what remains is you. But we're so obsessed with this tiny little fragmented being that we suffer all of its problems, we dream its dreams, we hope its hopes, and we're completely lost in this minuscule little tiny thing. And if you can do anything at all to push it off of center, there you are. And that's the gift of what I guess people call spiritual practice or spiritual life or meditative life. It doesn't come for everybody, but it can come. And if you're determined to have it happen, this voice inside will direct you to that. It really will. You just have to pay attention. And in a situation where life is causing massive change, it's a good time to listen to this thing, because the intellectual voice, the emotional voice, will provide us with a lot of disturbance. But if you can get quiet enough to listen to the other voice, it's not disturbed. It has no disturbance whatsoever. It's really centered and calm, and it goes this way. Anybody else?
I think thinking about fathers and mothers and gratitude that you should give to them and their lives for bringing you here. There's one thing maybe to remember is that they too are just travelers like we are, and children don't come with directions. So the first kid gets at the worst, the second kid's a little easier, and sometimes the parents get it right along the way, and they really get involved with their children. Sometimes they don't.
Yeah. No, look, I mean, look, parenting is imperfect. When it works, it's great. When it doesn't work, it's not great. But what I'm trying to get at is don't blame them, because they don't know either, which is what you're saying. They're trying to figure it out as they go along. I learned that when I was 20. I remember I said, oh my God, my parents aren't that much older than me. You know, they don't know much more than I do. And I had always suspected that, but I always gave them the benefit of the doubt that they had 20 years on me and therefore knew everything. But you know, clearly they don't know everything. And so you have to let them off the hook, one way or another. Ideally, they will have taught you to swim, but if they didn't teach you to swim, there is a teacher available. And it's always been there, and it will teach you. And that's kind of the ultimate lesson of all of this. Figure it out, take responsibility, because nobody else will do it for you, and own the journey, own your life, and get where you're supposed to go. You know, and you know, the first commandment, the second commandment, honor thy mother and thy father. You know? It's not like it's at the last commandment. It's not like it's something they kind of forgotten. It's the 11th commandment. It's right there. I am the Lord your God, number one. I am your father. Honor your father and your mother. Really important stuff. And if you pay attention to that, honor, as you said, be grateful. Yes, be grateful. And if you walk around hating them, the one who suffers, and both of them will probably suffer, but you're the one who's going to be walking around in the toxic stew of your hatred. That's not a wise move. You know, I would get out of that.
Hatred from one is hatred of oneself.
Yeah, yes. Hatred is your problem. You know, it affects other people, but it's your problem. So love thy mother and thy father. Love, good word. Care about, compassion for, honoring. It's actually honor your mother and your father. It doesn't say love, but I'll tell you, love is really, love is a good step in the journey. Okay?
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Bye.